This morning we're going to, for the message, we'll be in John chapter number 3. I understand that maybe there'll be people here today that aren't used to going to church and hearing the Bible, and I'll do my best to preach it in a way that is palatable and understandable, and hopefully leading them to the Lord Jesus Christ. What they do once they get there, that's up to them. Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 31. All right. In Genesis chapter number 1, we're going to be talking about, just in Sunday school this morning, just about being friendly. And that is, I don't want to say it's a learned trait, but it certainly is, takes effort. If you've ever, here, you know what? Bob, I'm going to put this on just in case you want to wander. Are we good with that? Yeah. Being a friend takes some effort. And it'd be much easier to just seclude yourself into your house, into your room, and not have to worry about anybody else, just yourself. But I don't think that's how the Lord would have us to live, from what I see in the scriptures. And I think it's actually quite beneficial to be friendly. And we'll look at some verses about that. But Genesis chapter number 1, Genesis chapter number 1 and verse 31, the Bible says, this is at the end of creation. And all right, are we on? All right, very good. At the end of creation there, and it says, and God saw, in Genesis 1:31, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. We know after creating everything, he created man, he created the animals, he created the fish and the light and the stars and the moon. 6 literal days it took him to make all that we see. And then the Bible tells us that he rests. He rests not because he was tired, but as an example to us. And we're thankful for that example. And so all of creation was complete. It was perfect. It was just how he designed it. And as we go to Genesis chapter number 2, Genesis chapter number 2, he says this, "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone.'" Before this, every animal had a companion. Every fish had another fish. Every bird had another bird. Every giraffe had another giraffe. I don't know. It didn't say giraffe, but I'm sure they were there. And but man was alone. Man was alone. And the Lord said, see, here's the interesting part about that thought, because sometimes we tell God, God, you messed up. God never messes up. But the Lord acknowledges the needs of us. And here he notices and he listens to Adam. And the Lord said, "It is not good that man should be alone. And I will make him an helpmeet." Look at, as we read verse 19. "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." So here, Adam, you're alone. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring all the animals by. And he brings every single animal by. And Adam still is alone. And he gives names to all of them. And as we know, in verses 21 through 25, God creates Eve, a companion. There was something missing. Not that the Lord made a mistake, just it was Eve was missing. The companion was missing. A companion is one to help one another, to encourage one another. That's what being a friend is. Hey, we all need that. Say, I don't need friends. You're mistaken. You're mistaken. If perfect Adam needed a companion, you too need a companion. You need a friend. Let's pray and we'll continue on in this. Lord, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can open it and it gives us wisdom and guidance. And Lord, I pray you'd be an encouragement and a help to us today. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Standing behind the pulpit, I'll do my best not to preach this morning and just teach us what the word of God says here. But the Bible tells us that Adam had been created with a need for fellowship. And after the fall, can I say, after the fall of man, when we not just have mankind, but now we have sinful mankind, relationships can be a little difficult.
We know that. Say, in what way? Well, they can be difficult when we're taking two sinners and expecting them to, well, interact in a way that is without sin. And that's sometimes, that's unreasonable. So how do we maintain that? How do we work with that? Well, I don't think we should avoid relationships. We are created for them. And I think life is better when we live for others. So what is being friendly? Well, extending my life to a friendship by receiving a person with the attitude, what is God doing in their life and how can I help them? See, that's what a good friend is. A good friend, I bet you two have maybe similar interests. Maybe you like sports or something of that sort, and maybe that brings companionship in that way. But a real good friend identifies where a person is at and helps them get closer to the Lord. That's a good friend. That's what we're looking for, to be friendly. Maybe your friend is without Christ. The best thing you could do is introduce them to Christ. Maybe your friend is maybe wandered away from the things of God a little bit. All right, let's try and help them bring them back. Maybe you can encourage one another by reading a verse together or praying together or bringing your... here's one of the realities of humanity. As much as I would like, Roger, there's certain circumstances in your life that I cannot change. But I can come alongside and we can pray together and we can go through those things together as a friend. And as we go to the Lord together, I'm identifying what God's trying to do in his life and how do I help you? Being friendly means to try and seek to bless one another. In Hebrews chapter number 10, look at there. We're going to have an abbreviated Sunday school class because I know some of you are anticipating friends coming today. So we'll try and end a little bit early, get you out, and so you don't have to try and... So your friends aren't waiting outside of the church house while you're in class. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse 24. Let us provoke one another to love. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. See, that's identifying, what do you need to get closer to the Lord? What do you need to get closer to the Lord? To be able to see that, we have to be spiritually minded ourselves. I have to be able to know what those things are and be considerate. Friendship is not primarily about finding enjoyable things to do with another person. No, there's a higher purpose. As Christians, we should be growing and maturing in Christ-likeness. And in 2 Peter chapter number 3, turn there just a few pages away. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse 18. It says, but grow in grace. Is that true for you? Right? That's what we should be doing, growing in grace. Well, how do I grow in grace? By growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. To grow in grace. To grow. And as I provoke or consider provoking you unto love and good works. Again, we use that word provoke. Maybe you think, oh yeah, I've been provoked before. And then that doesn't go good. I understand what you're saying with that. But can we encourage or push our friends to get closer to the Lord? Say, how do I do that? Maybe inviting them to church. I'm glad you did that. Maybe you have a neighbor or something and I would like to provoke unto good works. Maybe encourage them in the things of what is right. I was talking to someone just a little while ago and he was telling me some decisions that he was making, and I know it's not just what I think, but what God says, and God says that that's not right. So that, as a good friend, I had to say, you know, I think God would be pleased if you did this. And I had to show him from the scriptures what it meant. What was that? That was considering them, provoking them unto love and good works. Go back to Hebrews chapter number 3. In verse 13, the Bible says, but exhort one another daily. Exhort one another daily. So to be friendly, what do we need to do? We need to seek to bless one another, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Deceitfulness. Hey, sin's a liar. Sin's going to tell you that it's okay to go contrary to the word of God. And that's not true. And what do we need? We need to be a good friend to exhort one another daily. Hey, think about your friends. Are they helping you get closer to the Lord? Are they helping you grow in faith? It was sweet. I was standing out here and just opening up the door. Sam was on bus. He usually is out there. And so I was standing out there and just welcoming people in. And here comes Mrs. Turner and Mrs. Hartman. Same vehicle. Hey, that's a good friend. What is a good friend? Bringing a friend to church. That's a blessing. Praise the Lord for that. To encourage one another to fight against sin and unbelief, allowing one person to influence the other in a biblical way. Hey, it's more than just going to the ball game. It's more than just taking beanbags and throwing them at a board and eating hot dogs together and all of those kinds of things. Although that's a good avenue to be able to encourage one another and be friendly to one another, but really as Christians, how should we be encouraging one another? Well, we should be encouraging them by daily encouraging them to get closer to the Lord. Hey, do you call your friends up or text somebody? Or, hey, what'd you read today? What are you praying about? Hey, we're going out on visitation. I need a partner. Would you like to come with me? Hey, encouraging daily, but exhort one another daily. Again, think of your friends. Are they helping you get closer to the Lord, or are they pulling you away? I would strongly ask you to consider if they're pulling you away from the things of the Lord, maybe you limit how much influence they have in your life. The Bible warns us evil communications corrupt good manners. And if we endeavor to do right by the things of God and then we surround ourselves with people that maybe are pulling us away, that might not be a good, I'll tell you, that's not a good pairing. To be friendly, we need to seek to bless others. We need to be a true friend. Honestly, the number of friends isn't as important as the trueness of the friendship. Look at Proverbs chapter 18. I've been singing this song all morning because of these verses. Proverbs 18 and verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Maybe you're sitting here thinking, well, I don't have a lot of friends. Everybody's mean to me. Well, could it be that maybe you're not as friendly as you may think? Because it says a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. To have those friends, what do we need to do? We need to be friendly towards others. We need to consider that. Again, the number of friends isn't as important as the trueness of the friendship. Relatives, kin, are related to one another. Friends, listen, are devoted to one another. That's what it says. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Be attentive to the needs of your friends. Now, every time you get together with your friends, doesn't have to be a counseling session, all right? You understand that. You don't have to just, all right, every single time we got to take 4 hours and just pour out our hearts before one another. But we should be attentive to hear some things. Hey, if you spend enough time with somebody, you start to see patterns. And then when a pattern is different, we see that with like the life of Nehemiah. Remember Nehemiah? He was the cupbearer and he's standing before the king. And the king noticed that his countenance wasn't right, that it wasn't the same as always. And he asked him, he said, what's going on? Hey, you should spend enough time with maybe people that you recognize, hey, maybe something's not right. Maybe you need to encourage them. Maybe you need to be attentive to the needs of your friends. Proverbs chapter number 27 We'll look at a couple verses here. Here's the hard part about friendship. In Proverbs 27 and verse 5, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes you have to say hard things to friends. Sometimes you got to come to them and say, here's what the Bible says, and I know you, and I know you want to serve the Lord, and I know that you love God, but here's what the Scripture says, and here's what you're doing, and that's just not healthy for your walk with the Lord. Sometimes that's hard. So how do I do that without losing a friend? Well, it's got to be done with love and care. If the person knows that you love them and that you care about them, then maybe you can say some hard things and still maintain that friendship. Stephen, if you were getting yourself in trouble or if there was something in your life that I saw that wasn't going to be taking you down a good path, as a friend, I should be able to come to you and say, Stephen, here's what I see. Here's what the Scripture says. Here's what you're doing. Say, oh, that was a wound. Yes, but that is helpful. In Galatians, you don't have to turn there. Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians. In Galatians chapter number 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. And here it tells us, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Hey, understand that when you have to have those conversations, that's a burden that you just picked up, something heavy, knowing that you're going to have to confront that. Do it with meekness and do it with love. That's the best way. That's the nature of friendship. And then as you look at Proverbs 27 in verse 10, thine own friend and thy father's friend, look at what it says, forsake not. Friendships ought not to be easily forsaken. Well, she wore the same dress as me, therefore I'm out. No, stop. She forgot my birthday. He didn't do this. Man, if you're looking for reasons to get out of the friendship, maybe it isn't as strong as you thought. Maybe the very nature of it isn't how that should be. Friendships ought not to be easily forsaken. Friendships can and will be, listen, because they're real relationships, can and will be tried, tested. So how are you going to handle that? Are you going to be able to sit back and say, well, this person had to come to me, say some, I'm sure, difficult things. I bet they're doing it because they love me. Whether you're on the giving end of that or the receiving end of that, sometimes those both sides, it's hard. It's hard to have that. But understand, as we remember, friends are devoted to one another. There's been times when I had to have those conversations. Say, how'd that go? Oh, I'd be sick over the thing. Your stomach's all in knots. You don't want to have to say those things, and because you don't want to, but you can't continue on the same way. What else is hard about sometimes the nature of friendship is you really got to put yourself out there. That's the reality of a relationship. You have to open up your heart a little bit. You know, a great example of that, I don't know how we can talk about friendship and not talk about Jonathan and David. Go to 1 Samuel, chapter number 18. In 1 Samuel 18 and verse 1, it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Here we see a connection between two people, David and Jonathan. Their souls were knit together. Wow. It doesn't say that much about David. Had a lot of people in his life. He had the mighty men. He had people that he fought alongside. But nowhere does it describe another person like that. So yes, he had a lot of acquaintances, but the relationship like Jonathan and David, you're just not going to get it too often. And even against the commands of his own father, Jonathan rescues David's life. So yeah, that sounds like a big commitment. Friendships take commitment. They take time. They take effort. Sometimes they even take resources. You're going to have to be a good listener. You're going to have to open up your heart to that. I don't think you should do that with everybody. Here's one friend that I don't think you should have. I don't want to say a bad friend, but not a real friend. Facebook. So what are you talking about? I don't think you should just go on Facebook and just pour out your heart to that. I don't think your soul should be knit together with Facebook. Call a person. Talk to a real person. Well, I'm just giving my life out. Yeah, but that should be something special between you and maybe another person. I don't think that's a... Social media will steal what should be between two people or a group of friends and make it virtual. Be careful with that. That is a... If your first response is hey, I got to post this, well, stop. Funny adage is, well, if it's not on social media, did it really even happen? Like everything, your whole life has got to be hold on, just enjoy the moment. You've all seen those social events or whatever, and everyone's got their phone out, and then there's just one person just sitting there, just enjoying it. Like all right, sorry. That wasn't even in the notes. That was extra. Be careful. The purpose of friendship. Lastly, John chapter number 13. Say, Pastor, I don't know. I mean, between having to open up my heart, share feelings, possibly be rebuked, time, why on earth would I want this? Well, again, may I remind you, way back in Genesis, Adam was created, and he needed a companion. And the Lord made us to need people. John chapter 13 and verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. The purpose of friendship is the reflection of God's love, to display the love of Christ to others. Yes, it will not always be convenient. Yes, it will demand sacrifice. Yes, it will demand risk and effort. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking back in my own life of just friends. Remember junior high school? Do you remember junior high school, Mrs. Hartman? No, yeah. It took me a while to really pull that file out. And I was thinking back then, and when I first got saved, and the two kids I used to hang out with, Josh, and the other kid's name was Nick. He seemed like a good kid. And since parting of ways, we've gone very separate ways, different. One lives, I think, in California. I don't know where the other lives. And sometimes friendships come and go. Why'd it go? Because we kind of, unfortunately, gave up on the thing. We weren't willing to make the sacrifice and risk. And I look back and I was kind of sad-hearted about that. I was sitting there as I was preparing these notes and I was thinking about them. Thinking what happened to them. Where did they end up? What did their life entail? And And shame on me for neglecting it. I remember when I first started coming here, and just Phil, just being a good friend. And good advice and good companionship, and I'm okay being alone a little bit. Phil was not. Hey, I'm going to Lowe's. You want to go? I don't need anything. Yeah, but I do, so why don't you come on? Changing the light bulbs in the house. Why don't you come help me? He's asking the 5'6" guy to help him change the light bulb. Maybe you have people like that in your life. And to reflect the love of Christ. There is a great reward knowing that you helped another person see the love of Christ in action. That's a blessing. Again, you might not have a lot of friends, but make sure that you have some good friends. Friends that will help you walk with the Lord. Friends that will strengthen and encourage your faith. When you find a friend like that, don't let him go. Fight for it. Don't give up. I'll tell you, they're few and far between. But we are to be friendly. In a few moments, we'll conclude our class here today and say, well, what can we expect for the rest of the day? I don't know. Well, we got a plan, but you know how life goes, and we might. Who knows? I don't know if the grill is going to work. You know, that's the plan. Who knows what Brother Kaiser's going to do? I don't know. Stay away from the gym for a while. We're going to probably just torch it and then start again up there. There is, if you have any sort of sugar problem, do not go up in the gym. It's like a candy shop up there. But to be friendly. Well, I'm just not feeling, I don't care if you're feeling it. Be friendly. Reflect the love of Christ that you have to others. Today, in a little while, we're going to have church service. Sing with all your heart. Be sincere. Be genuine. Be friendly. Say, whew, I'll be glad when today's over. And do it every day hereafter. Because that's how we should be. We should be friendly. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. God, thank you for giving us the example of friendship. Thank you for, Lord, just having... Lord, thank you for the friends that you've brought by our way. Lord, it's good to look back and have those times. And Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, as the Scripture has given us the pattern for friendship, that you would help us with that. And God, that you would help us to encourage one another in the faith and to grow in grace. And then if those few times throughout our life where we need to have those difficult conversations, that we would do it with love and meekness. That we would provoke one another unto good works. That we would, again, in meekness and love, care for one another. See the needs of others. That we would not forsake the friends quickly. Lord, I pray if someone here today isn't saved, that they would meet the greatest friend that they could ever have in you. Someone that cares for them regardless. Willing to demonstrate a love and a mercy and a grace that they've never seen before. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the remainder of our day here today. And God, just have your hand in all of the service. Lord, I know the enemy will not be pleased with what's happening today. And Lord, I pray that you'd encourage our hearts. Strengthen our hearts, Lord. We need you. We love you. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.